Hello, welcome to The American Pulse. I'm your host, Tony Rezac. This is a show that seeks to listen, express, and amplify the voice of the American people, no matter where you live in this great nation. We are unabashedly pro-humanity, pro-freedom, and pro-America. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to The American Pulse. One of the main reasons for creating this podcast was to give voice to we the people. It's important that we hear from those that love this country unabashedly, like our founding fathers did and so many Americans spanning generations across time and space. Preserving a love of our country and its founding principles and passing those down to the next generations is crucial if America is going to continue to lead this great human experiment in freedom and liberty and self-governance. Remember, dear listeners, one of the goals of the globalists is to strangle all national pride, whether that is in this country, Europe, or elsewhere. It is difficult to put forth things like the World Economic Forum's Great Reset when you have people like my guest today as part of the resistance, to use a Star Wars term. You can be pro-humanity and still be pro-America or pro-country. I know tons of people like this. So if you happen to be listening to mainstream media, does anybody listen to mainstream media anymore? And they say that people that love America don't care about people from other nations or don't care about humans that don't have proper immigration papers, don't believe them. It's simply not true. I loved interviewing my guest today. She exemplifies so much of what is happening right now, an activated grassroots patriot doing what she can do locally to move the needle, and a woman who keeps the possibility of dialogue with those that disagree with her views. And this is something that we can all strive for, I think. I know I am. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by The Renton Printery. From huge outdoor banners to small hard hat decals, The Renton Printery produces top quality, customizable, full color decals, business cards, letterhead, envelopes, signs, table tents, and more. The Renton Printery is a small, independent, veteran-owned business since 1957. For all your printing needs, go to www.rentonprintery.com. And now, onto our episode. My guest today is Robin Balcom. Robin is an American patriot, a mother and grandmother, and the chairwoman of Legislative District Number 12 right here in King County. Here is my interview with Robin Balcom. Okay, I am here with Robin Balcom, American patriot, mother and grandmother, chair of LD 12. I got that right. Right, Robin?
That's right.
Yeah, Robin, welcome to the American Pulse. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Tony. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, you know, you just did, we're going to talk about this, you just did the Stern America podcast, and I listened to it, and man, you just killed it on that thing. I was so proud and so happy that you did it. But before we get into like how that came about, I guess I just wanted to give you a chance to tell the listeners like where, a little bit of a background, where you're from, where you live now, how big is your family, your immediate family, and what has been your involvement with the King County GOP?
Sure. Well, I am, like you've already said, I'm a mom and I'm a grandmom. I met my husband, Perry, when we both joined as volunteers on a hospital ship with an organization called Mercy Ships. Many of your listeners will be familiar with Mercy Ships. You'll see commercials and all kinds of stuff. And my husband and I met on board that ship when we were single. We got married. We ended up having our kids raised on the ship until our oldest was 10. So we lived on a ship, a 22-foot ship for 18 years. We left that ship in 2002 and we moved to Montana. And then in 2016, we sold our house in Montana and I moved here. Perry was here previously, but that's a whole nother story. So we've been in the Seattle area since 2016 as a couple. And that's really, Perry had been here since 2009 because he came back here to go to school. He had gotten involved with the Republican Party before I got here. But when I arrived in 2016 is when we got involved in the presidential election and all of those kind of things. So that was our entree.
Got it. Yeah. You know, I watched your episode with the Stern America podcast and you were just so great on it. And, you know, I think it really exemplified to me how kind of the grassroots movement, you kind of have to be a Swiss Army knife a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure you thought, well, Tony's the podcaster, he should do the podcast, but it really, it landed in your lap. And it was good that you said yes and leaned into it, because you were, I don't think I could have done any better than you did. You were so fantastic talking about what's going on in King County, and you followed Jim Walsh, who's really, you know, a thorough numbers guy. And it, I thought the comparison or kind of juxtaposing your approach after Jim's, it was really great and refreshing to hear how passionate and well-spoken and concise you were about what the situation is here and what you're excited about. But I guess my first question is, how did it come about? Because it would have been more natural had I done it, right? People have been like, oh yeah, well, he's a podcaster and he's doing this podcast like he's done other ones. But how did it land in your lap, and how did that unfold? How did they reach out to you or find you even about this?
Well, one little bit of information that probably, you know, like I don't know how old you are, Tony. I'm 63. So in my 63 years, there's times when I've had seasons of doing something and then I go on and I'm like, wow, what was that all about? Why did that ever happen? I think all of us, if you really are willing, that you can use any of your life experiences way later on in your life. It just so happened when I was on the ship for those so many years, at a number of times I was the media liaison. So I worked, but I interfaced with the BBC News, with 60 Minutes. I mean, I was doing the interviews, teams would come to the ship, and I was, so I'm comfortable in that environment. So that wasn't at all something that was kind of like, yikes, what am I going to do? Even though it's not something that I do professionally. So over the years and over my 18 years, I was involved in a lot of interviews and things like that. So I think my confidence grew way back then. And since then, since I've been here, I mean, I end up doing things, but this particular opportunity came as a result of what happened in December at our reorg meeting, when the America First, We the People slate ended up winning and taking over leadership of the of our local KCGOP. Well, I had been a part of the team that had been strategizing to pull that off. And I mean, some people on the other side called it a coup. It wasn't a coup, although we did take over leadership, but we did it legally. We did it by the book, and it, we did it with a precise strategy. And I and several others in that core group who were working that were very inspired by Dan Schultz's precinct strategy. His and that Dan Schultz is a guy who came up with this strategy, really defining how powerful the grassroots is if they just get organized and work together. And so he has a website, he has a whole thing. And so over the last few years, I've gotten his book and read it. I've followed him. Well, this is where it comes together. So December 7th of this past year, when we had our reorg, you know, we pulled it off and it worked and we won. And I was just excited about it. Well, that happened on a Saturday. Well, that Monday, I was all, you know, fired up, and I went to Dan Schultz's website and watched his video. He does daily, almost every day, podcast videos on his channel, and they go on Rumble and YouTube and wherever. And as he was doing his spiel, which honestly is kind of, it's not a really positive podcast. He's kind of gotten discouraged. So if you go there expecting to be inspired, I have to warn you. But that day, he'd gotten about 20 minutes in, and I was ready to turn my computer off because I'd just kind of heard it. And then all of a sudden he says, hey, and he currently lives in Wisconsin. He used to be in Arizona, but he says, hey, I heard from somebody over on the East Coast. I think it was New Jersey. I just heard today about what happened in King County, Washington this past weekend. Well, I heard him say that, and I'm like, what the heck? And he said, it apparently, and then he gave a little spiel. And as I was sitting there listening to it, I'm like, I'm in Seattle, you're in Wisconsin, and you heard from somebody in New Jersey what happened in King County, Washington. So I was just flabbergasted by it. So I immediately, when I got off, I emailed him through his site and just said, I was there, and you're right. We used the precinct strategy. And so this little connection happened then. So that was back in December, and it's kind of carried on that he's come and he's done a couple of Zoom things. I had him come and Zoom into one of our meetings just to help us get the vision of that strategy and how it can be implemented. And, you know, we were a perfect case saying like it works. So Dan has been on Steve Bannon. He, you know, President Trump has endorsed the precinct strategy. And so what I've learned is that So there's a network of podcasters that Steve Bannon kind of listens to. And from those podcasts, he often finds new guests. And so he has, they're kind of like feeder podcasts that feed into his show.
Robin, do you know if, and you may not know this, because it sounds like King County was one of the earliest ones to have success with the precinct strategy. Is that being widely adopted? And is it having similar results in other counties around the country? Like, I don't know. I'm so immersed in what we're doing here that I'm not sure what's happening nationwide. But I would imagine it would be talked about if it's mentioned in Jersey and Wisconsin here, like a lot of other counties might be asserting the same techniques, right?
There are a lot. And there's even a lot of counties in Washington state that know about it. No, we are not the first for sure. And which is why I believe Dan kind of comes across frustrated when you listen to him talk, because he has been pounding the pavement. He's got a very simple message and it's all he cares to talk about. But a lot of people have kind of given lip service. And even I think he thought that when Trump endorsed it back in 2019 or 2020, I believe, he thought that would give it a huge lift. But let me tell you the key to that, Tony, because this is really important. Both parties. Okay, so Dan Schultz is Republican, so I'll just stick to talking about the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. But both parties are corrupt. You and I both know that. Yep. Well, the powers that be, we will call them the establishment. Some people call them rhinos, whatever. They don't want the precinct strategy to have a lift. Now, you can understand why, because that's what we ran into in King County. So he's not been able to break through that glass ceiling of getting the RNC to feed it out to the rest of the party, because they know if the PCOs really find out how much power and influence they have, they are going to take over. And if we are strategic in getting America First PCOs, the establishment is screwed. They're out of here. So there's a reason why, and it's the same roadblocks that President Trump keeps running into, even in his own party and in his own, that it's exactly that. So, but Dan has a big following. I mean, he told me in Washington state, there's like 681 Washingtonians that have signed up that basically say they're part of the precinct strategy. So, and I've said, hey, let me get a hold of him. But I know other counties in the state as well that have had him come and speak at meetings, and he'll zoom into any meeting. I mean, I'd love to bring him here in person, but he's very free and giving with his time.
That's great. Well, I love hearing that. It gives me, I'm a naturally optimistic person, but I also kind of like the tactical. So I enjoy that there's like kind of like a tactical to this precinct strategy. And also I've seen how effective it was here. So it makes me really excited about it. You said something on the other podcast about how you don't necessarily have to be PCOs to attend your legislative district meetings. I think even the words like PCO, legislative district.
It's like a code.
It's like people's eyes gloss over. And I think also people have a little bit of a sense of, am I going to get roped into, are they going to ask me to sign a bunch of stuff and immediately become a PCO? I don't even know what that is. Yeah. I know a lot of good Americans, both on the Republican side, the independents, even former Kennedy liberals who are a little disenfranchised and don't know, which way the wind's blowing right now or where their home is going to be.
Yeah.
And I think there's a sense of like, well, you have to raise your hand and want to be a PCO to go to a legislative district meeting. But that's not the way we approach it. It's certainly not the way you approach it. So
not at all.
How do you invite who's welcome right now in the legislative district meetings? What are you looking for? Who would be an attractive candidate, whether or not they ever wanted to be a PCO? What kind of person are you looking for right now?
I like to give everybody a chance to wake up. And I want to be a part of encouraging that even within our party meetings. Mm-hmm. And so I try to be very inviting, but I'm looking for citizens who understand the Constitution, even minimally to a fact where they realize we the people are supposed to be the ones influencing government, culture, schools, that families, we, and that they appreciate their citizenship, but they also appreciate the freedom they have to participate in it. And so what I try to do, and I think it really has to be regionally and with community. It's why so often you hear, you know, all governments are actually local. Well, it really is true. I mean, in the town wherever you live, your mayor has a lot of influence on your immediate life. You may like it or not, but yeah. But in the city council's making decisions that are affecting the things that are happening in your neighborhood. So I try, ever since I even moved here, I say I've been shaking the bushes, looking for patriots, people willing to step up. And so I call even our legislative district meeting, I call it Patriots and PCOs. And I ease people into the possibility of becoming a PCO, which is a precinct committee officer, is what it's called here in Washington State. Mm-hmm. Because when you do that, to become a PCO, you need to be willing to say, I identify as a Republican. That's one thing, that I am willing to put my name, that I am a Republican. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of an accountability there. And then you have the vote of who's the leadership in the Republican Party, and you also get to weigh in on, you know, our platform and the bylaws and all of that. So that's really, so there's a lot of people that, man, they don't want to do that kind of stuff. Well, I'm like, how about you come hang out with us and you get to know the candidates? Because really, those people that are our representatives and our mayor and our city council, they're supposed to work for us according to the Constitution. We're right. supposed to be holding them accountable. So I'm like, hey, if you don't want to get in the weeds on voting for leadership or being a part of the bylaws, that's fine. Come join us and get to know who the candidates are. Come help us get the vote out. Help us be engaged with us. And I especially look for people and say, you know, you might meet somebody who's a school teacher, and I'll say, I need you. I tell them, I say, I want to hear, what are your concerns? You're the one that's in that classroom. Help us understand what's going on in our schools. Would you come and let us know? If there's the guy who works at the sewage treatment plant, I'm like, hey, you know, sewage treatment plant's really not my jam, but you obviously know what's going on there. We need to know, how's it working? Is it funded? What does our government need to do? So I think if we engage all of the different sectors of society, and I will say, you know, selfishly and personally, I've looked for people that if the shit really hit the fan, pardon my language, who would I want to circle the wagons with?
Yeah, that's a great.
You know, who are people? And so I want to know the farmers. I want to know the people that do all the canning. I want to know the people that have access to well water, you know? And so I think in all of our communities, we should be building those relationships, not in any kind of militia, although if that's needed, I'll do that one too. Yeah. But to say like, hey, you know, because there's a lot of lonely people. There's a lot of lonely people that are really scared as they watch TV and they're like, I don't even have anyone with me. I'm like, come on, be our friends. We'll watch your back. And so I really try to make it a relational community gathering. And then in the midst of it, so many people really missed the civics courses. I don't know when they went out of the school system, but since I've been in this position, I have learned so much. I learn something every week, you know, all the different layers of government. You know, you got your city government, your county government, your legislative and the congressional district. And then there's the federal government. And then the parks district, and which is, and learning all of these things makes me a better citizen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really amazing to me how much learning there is. I love learning. And it's amazing. You think you're just going to step in and kind of know all the layers of what's going on, but it takes a long time. And thankfully, there's people like you and Jolie and Lisa and Paul Glumas, people that have been at it for a long time or been sleeves rolled up to try to understand the dynamics of the precinct strategy and all the different ways that we govern and represent we the people. It's really fantastic. But, you know, I was at a recent picnic and Dino Rossi, the man who lost, quote unquote, lost the governorship of Washington by like 29 votes or something like that. Like, you know, the one of the original, like, oh, look, there's a bunch of mail-in ballots with Christine Gregoire's name on it. Huh? Yeah. That's funny. You know? And so he was there. He's really great. And he's so well-spoken.
Yeah.
And he really is. And you know what? He brought up something that I was like, oh, I kind of forgot that. Like, He said, you know, people forget the history of Washington, that it goes back and forth, that, you know, Bellevue and King County used to be very Republican, and the East Side with all the farmers and ranchers, and that used to be very Democrat and very union and truckers. And he goes, and you know, the peninsula used to be, you know, there's no way there was any red votes over there. Now that's very red, and King County's blue, and the East Side's red. And so he goes, he said, I'm saying this because things can change. Like, it takes the grassroots is exactly what you need. If you don't want to see King County be blue for another 20 years, then doing work like you're doing is what's going to help change it and shift it. And also, I'm thinking to myself, also the bad job the Democrats are doing, taxing us to death,
Oh my word, yeah.
and doing all the woke stuff, and all the stuff they're doing in the schools and stuff like that. They're shooting themselves in the foot and presenting opportunities for us. But it really was really refreshing for me to hear Dino say, "Hey, history's on our side. It does go back the other way if you care about it, you know." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I get so
That's
used to
right.
seeing it up close, and oh, you know, it's hopeless here in King County." But you know, I guess the question I have is, like, how do we continue to grow the We the People grassroots movement, and maybe do it in a way that appeals to the jettison Democrat voter who's maybe feeling a little lost right now? Maybe they're being squeezed by taxes and going, oh my God, they just keep raising taxes. Or I don't agree with what they're doing with all the transgender biological men and
Right.
girls sports. Like, that's really not my jam. Like, Democrats, I think, are quietly very disenfranchised here.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think for every one that's loyal to the ideology and whatever they tell me to sing about, I will. I think there's like 5 to 10 that are like, I don't like this anymore, but I'm afraid of the Republican Party because of maybe Trump derangement syndrome or whatever. I guess, how do we continue to grow it in a way that it really appeals to those that broad King County disenfranchised voter?
Well, I appreciate that, and I agree. You know, I think we have to come in a different spirit. You know, I think we have to lose all the negativity and all the, you know, they're idiots. I think we have to be curious. I think we have to learn to ask better questions. I know I've found sometimes somebody really in heated way, you know, whether, you know, about, well, you know, children have the right, you know, and I'm just like, wow, as a mom, you know, my son, you know, wanted, you know, believed he was Spider-Man, you know, for years. And, you know, we let him go through that stage, but I didn't go and have, you know, webs, you know, implanted in his hands so he could be what he thought he was. And I, you know, but you try to take it light. You try, but I think we need to come forward with solutions. We can't just complain about the problems. I mean, you know, like let's take the taxes thing. You know, it's not that we need to collect more taxes because the government has a deficit. You know, I think the solution is they need to not spend so much. You know what I mean? And that's amazing that people think that that's not possible. I'm like, no, you could actually cut a lot of programs that the government shouldn't be funding anyway. But I think the spirit of it, I think we need to be gracious. We need to make room for people to have their vent or their rant because they're so deeply indoctrinated. And you know, for the ones that truly believe we need to be a socialist, Marxist, you know, communist thing, I kind of just like, you know, hey, you know, buddy, you know, I'm sure, you know, appreciate your passion, but we're just not going to agree. I mean, you know, there's going to be some people. I mean, there's some people. It's super. I've heard. I'm not very good at quoting quotes, but it's a whole lot harder to admit you're wrong than it is to kind of see the light. And I think people. And I think we need to give people grace to wake up in an environment where we're not going to nail them
I know.
or you know or base how we feel about them on one topic. I think we need to bring people more into what are the things we can agree on, you know,
Yeah, I agree.
and give people a chance to soft land with us and not be quick to judge them. But I think part of it is I believe that the left is really comes from a fear mongering and it's threatening and our democracy, which is, of course, that's a whole fallacy there. But, you know, they're angry, they're mobbish. I mean, look at what's, I mean, they in some ways they've been like what's the world, Shanghai or Shang, whatever it is, when they steal somebody's whole platform. I mean, there's such an angry call for violence, the Antifa. I can't imagine Democrats want to be associated with that, but that's kind of where what the optics are right now. So I think we have to come. And because see, they label us as haters and bigots and and I think we have to really show that we're not that, and but come with solid solutions. It's not, you can come and go, I just don't like that. Well, then it's like, well, what do you want? I think we have to be ready to give an answer. Hey, why don't we try this? Why don't we come this way? And I think we also, Tony, need to heal some of the wounds within our own party. I mean, people need to move on. There's a lot of division. I think a lot of people don't want to get involved in politics because, oh, the Republicans are at each other's throats. We need to learn to make peace within our own party and go like, you know what? We're not going to agree on everything, but we can agree on these few things. Can we just move forward in relationship and in positive progress on these issues without having to, feel like everybody has to believe the way I do?
I think that's really wise, Rob. And I love what you said about the season of grace. Like I've wrestled with this on my other podcast. And I think there was a point where conservatives and libertarians and people that were pro-America really felt like we were being canceled by all of big tech, and we were being shamed, name called. And I think we're not in that season. Like, I think that we're in the season, and it's not the season of I told you so. Like,
Absolutely.
I nobody wants to have their nose rubbed into any of that. So I think that, like, just your message of giving grace, give them a soft landing, know that also it has not been easy for any of us, regardless of your political orientation. This has been a really challenging narrative war, and depending on where you stood, I think we've all had aha moments and even oh shit moments where we're like, oh, I didn't quite have that right, or so it's like not the time to be, like kind of blaring out like, see, we're the right side. It's more of like, how do we work on this together? How do we stand in higher principles of God, love, joy, love of the country? Like, to your point earlier, like it's hard to work with somebody if they're like, I just hate America and I don't like freedom very much either. It's like, well, those are first principles, and that's kind of what we stand for. So I don't know if we can talk about the other stuff. It's okay if you hate America. I just like I don't think I
Then
can
go
work.
away.
I can't work with you. But anyways, I just wanted to thank you so much, Robin. I just love your energy and your wisdom and your insights. And come back anytime. And I hope you get to
Oh,
do a
thank
lot
you.
more. Hope you get to do a lot more podcasts because you're really good at it. And I'm just
Thank
so
you.
glad that you and I are on the same side. You talked about, who would you want to be circled up with? And I'd want to be circled up with you and a bunch of other people that we know and are close to. So thanks for coming on the
The
American Pulse.
feeling's mutual. I love you and Lisa and appreciate all you're doing. So, yeah, good to talk to you. Thanks for this opportunity today. I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I love connecting with people from all walks of life who love this country and want to see it thrive into the next epoch and are willing to roll up their sleeves to make sure it's done. It's super inspiring. Thank you, listeners, and we'll see you next week on The American Pulse.